Now, it's the Jane Carroll Show on 1360 KUIK, the voice of Washington County.
Well, it's been way too long since we've had our next guest on, the author of many cyber thrillers. That's what they're called. But if you read them, you think they're almost clairvoyant or so apropos and timely that you almost look at them and think, did he know this was going to happen? Is he a special ESP or something? He's an amazing author. He's a great writer. He has a background in high tech. He lives part of the time in Oregon and in Arizona, but he's a great writer. And we've been waiting for his latest book, but it's now available to you. Let's welcome John Trudell. Hi there.
Jane, thank you so much for having me on. It's good to be back.
It's always a pleasure to have you on. All right. In addition to that, a lot of people have become familiar with you with your commentaries about what's been going on in Burns, Oregon. Some really good stuff. You've been very excellent writing.
Well, thank you much. That's a long story, but should I catch you? What do you want to do first? Should I tell you a little about myself for your readers?
Why don't you, for people that haven't heard you before, and about yourself, and then about your newest efforts.
All right, let's get basically who I am. I'm a small town kid from originally the East Coast, old East Coast roots. Grew up, family once wealthy, lost all their money for different reasons, both sides of the family. So I grew up poor. Started off picking blueberries at 8 cents a pound when I was a kid. Went to college on scholarships and kind of lived the American dream. I got scholarships and engineers were very much in demand. The Cold War was seething and we needed people who knew technology. And so I worked in high tech for many years, initially for the government, started a few companies of my own, and finally was a consultant. And I was doing all this stuff. And I would go around and I'd see really interesting science, meet fascinating, very creative, sometimes sort of crazy people. And I collected all these stories. And I could never talk about it because if it was defense stuff, it would always be classified.
You're not Hillary Clinton. You couldn't talk about it.
No, I mean, yeah, anybody else would have been in prison for 10 years now. Good grief. I can't believe it.
I know. It's unbelievable. And you know how, you know the rules, but it's always interesting. But we digress. Go on. So you had this career in the government, and when did you decide that, I want to write some cyber tech thrillers? Because that's sort of a new genre.
Well, here's what happened, okay? What I did, first it was the government, and then I shifted to commercial companies, which was fine. But they're even more sensitive. Andy Grove, when I had my consulting business, my biggest client was Intel, and Andy was famous for being paranoid. He was just, they have secret stuff that they invest a lot of money in.
Oh, absolutely.
You can never talk about it. And so I would do all this stuff, and near the end, I was a consultant, and so I worked for a number of companies. But how does a single full practitioner consultant at the time, Scappoose, Oregon, wind up with IBM or Intel or HP as a client? Well, you cannot call them up and say, "Give me some money, and I'll do wonderful stuff for you." They have to come. Really, it'd be silly, right?
Right.
And so they have to come to you. And so what I was doing in those days is I wrote columns for magazines, hundreds of high-tech magazines, hundreds of columns, maybe 1,000. And I did a couple of high-tech books. And meanwhile, I'm going around living this stuff. And I decide, well, it's time to phase out and do something else. And everybody says, you have these stories, write a novel. And I go, well, I thought I was a pretty good writer. How hard could that be?
Well, you're a very good writer.
Well, it took me 10 years to do my first novel. 10 years.
I think a lot of people that are decent writers never actually, and talk about writing a book, but never quite. It's a real discipline to write a book.
It is, and fiction is, with dialogue and everything, is an entirely different craft than writing a business book or a technical report. Anyway, so it took me a long time, and I started writing it. And I thought, well, I would be like a Tom Clancy. I liked Tom Clancy, and I liked Michael Crichton, and I knew science and things like that, and I knew military technology. So I'll do a techno thriller, and that's what I thought I was writing. Well, as I got into the marketplace, weird things started happening, because there's a big difference between being a writer and being an author. If you're a writer, you sit in your room and you imagine things and you talk to your imaginary friends and you craft scenes. If you're an author, you throw the book out in the world and people react to it. And what I found was I would write something, and as you were discussing, the book would come out, and within a few months it was really happening.
I know.
And everybody would say, wow. And quite often they would be more interested in the background of the reality. Like, a few years ago I did Privacy Wars, which was about Big Brother watching you and encryption, and my characters had come up with a way to talk in private. And about the time the book came out, Snowden was running for his life, hiding in the Moscow airport, stuck there. And the book won 3 national awards.
I know. Did ever, you know, when I was reading your books, and because the clairvoyant sort of asked, did people ever accuse you of saying, well, you had insider information, that's why, you put this all out? Because it almost seems like that, John.
Well, one of the things I do, you know, can you predict this stuff? I think the safest thing I can say is two things. In all of my books, I have a little paragraph in the front, which is the disclaimer. And so I rank it all up, okay? It has no overlap with reality and so forth and so on. And read the disclaimer. That's probably the most important fiction in the book, one of my friends says. But no,
yeah, because it's amazing. And when I first started reading your stuff, I said, boy, this is amazing, because it's so in line with what's going on now. And you obviously didn't write it that day. You know, so they're very good reads. They're also just, you know, fascinating thrillers. They're thrillers, too.
Well, it turns out that seems to be the blessing and the curse of the genre, because if you try to write good thrillers, they have to be realistic. You have to do science that is possible, maybe difficult, but, you know, I could believe that. And so if you look at people, Tom Clancy was the famous one. Well, a lot of them are famous, but he wrote a book called Dead of Honor in 1994, where he had terrorists crashing a 747 into Congress. And that happened, you know, we lived that in 2001, what, 11 years later, 12 years later.
Yeah.
Brad Thornow does very good thrillers. He's with a big publisher. And the same thing happens to him. He'll come out and he will come up with a story, and it's happening. And it has happened again and again and again. And maybe I'm getting better. Maybe I'm talking to more people. I'll give you 2 or 3 examples. But what has happened just in the last 2 years now is I made up a book that we'll talk about, Raven's Run. And I was thinking to myself, well, what is a really scary scenario, and one that would have a lot of space for characters to operate and would interest people? And my threat line was terrorists with Iranian nuclear weapons.
Yeah, it's a great book.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and it got me into places. And I'll tell you one thing, just broke a few weeks ago. So I write this book, and, you know, okay, you go through it, and it comes out. And I hadn't really started, this is like Christmas 2 years ago. And I hadn't really started promoting the book yet. Well, I'm watching television, and Michelle Bachmann is retiring from Congress. And she talks to her family, and she says, well, I don't get along real well with this Obama guy, but this is the last time I'll ever see him, and I need to leave him with a message. And the family says, So what they do is they work it out. Her husband delays the reception line, and she gets 30 seconds, and she says, Mr. President, whatever you do, you must not let Iran have nuclear weapons. And at the time, nobody was even talking about the concept of Iran having nuclear weapons. All right, well, she brings
So he got
up.
The idea from Michelle Bachmann?
No.
I'm teasing you. Okay, we're going to wrap up. We're going to hear the rest of this story. We're talking to the author, John Trudell. You've got to stay with us because we're going to find out about his newest works, and we'll be back.
Your afternoon dose of entertainment. Jane Carroll on 1360 KUIK, Westside Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. Our author guest today is John Trudell. He's the author of a prolific writer of cyber tech thrillers, and he was telling us the story of Michelle Bachmann being in line. She's retiring from Congress, and she had something to tell President Obama as she exited D.C. What did she say?
Well, this is the Christmas party at the White House.
Right.
And she gives him a 30-second warning, and she says, Mr. President, whatever happens, you must not let Iran have nuclear weapons. And, you know, a few words like that. And he basically goes, there, now don't worry your pretty little head about it.
Oh, geez.
So that was the end of the discussion, but it made the news, okay? It was widely reported, and then they did interviews with her. And, of course, she was on the House Intelligence Committee, so she was for real briefed in on all this stuff. And she says, well, why did you ask him? Well, I can't really tell you, blah, blah, blah. Well, it goes on. It turns out Congress doesn't know anything about this either, and they start asking questions. Meanwhile, I've got my little book out there, and people are doing interviews. Will you talk about this? Will you talk about EMP weapons and things like that?
Right.
And I said, sure. You know, I wrote the story. Well, it turns out, and so that gets a lot of media attention, a lot of interviews, and a few months later, the second time in American history, a major head of state comes to the United States to warn us of a major threat. The last time it was Churchill warning about Hitler. Well, this time it was Netanyahu warning about Iran. So the issue gets even hotter. So, and nobody involved can talk about it or will talk about it.
Except
so
you.
Talking about the story, okay? And it goes on and on and on. Well, and so that was good. It got me a lot of attention for the book, and it got a lot of awareness, and there was a lot of controversy. The position was that Congress wasn't even allowed to see this secret deal, and it went on and on and on. Well, the funny thing was, I was stuck because I had promised my readers a sequel. And that's the one that just came out, Raven's Redemption. And so, yeah, I'll do a sequel. Well, I couldn't finish the sequel until they had done whatever it was they were going to do. You know, whatever it was, I had to know it because the book couldn't disagree with that. It wouldn't be realistic. So
right.
I'm waiting, and the book is getting later and later and later, and people are telling me this, that, and the other thing. And there's a lot of people who are very concerned about this Iran deal. So I put out a little, and how do you stop it? Because he's going to do it anyway. There's no way to stop it. Well, I put out a little cheat sheet. I used to be a management consultant. So I put out 7 points. You know, if you want to stop the deal, here's what you have to do. Point one, point two. Point one was you have to replace the Republican leadership. You have to get rid of Boehner. You have to get rid of McConnell. And I put it out to my mail list, which are not insignificant, but they're small. Well, the Cruz campaign picked it up, put it in their newsletter, and it went all over the place.
I saw that. I said, I know him. That's, yeah.
I go, oh, my God. All right. And so it hasn't stopped yet. Now, let me tie and just about, as you know, you read Raven's Run. What I had was I had to come up with something plausible. In those days, I thought that they'd maybe just have one or two nukes, and how would they deliver them? Well, in my novel, I had a kind of a cool ship. It was a Russian icebreaker, and it worked into the storyline real well. So, okay, they're going to use that as a launch platform and everything else. Well, honestly, just in the last few weeks, I had, breakfast with a fellow I've been talking to for years. He's a retired high-level military officer who's retired. He's a two-star general. And he's still in very knowledgeable in geopolitics, very much engaged in the Mideast and trying to deal with all this flood of jihad across the world. His name's General Paul Vowley, and his group is Stand Up America. And we've known each other for long time now, but we hadn't met. Well, we finally got together in the same place, and we got to spend some time, and we had lunch together, and we're talking. And he starts talking about something, and I said, "Well, what are you talking about?" And he says, "Well, you had it in your book." And I said, "What? Yeah, you had that delivery system with nukes and everything in the chip." I said, "What are you talking about?" He pulls out his cell phone, and he says, "This is the club. You have to Google this. The Club K system was built by the Russians, and it was sold to Iran 2 years ago. It's on Google. Look it up." And it wasn't an icebreaker, but it was a container ship, and the container swivels up, and here comes the missile
launcher.
Yeah,
I was going to say, you did have that in the book. But
here it is.
You are writing fiction, but it's turning out to be the reality.
Yeah, he thought, I hadn't heard of it. It's actually a system that was delivered to Iran 2 years ago. Okay. So, anyway, that was Raven's Run. It's gotten a lot of attention.
Oh, it's a great read. And now, is your new book out? It's out, isn't
it? The new book absolutely is out, both in paper and electronic.
Tell everybody how can they get it, because we're almost out of time, and they need to read it. We'll have you back on to talk a little bit more about it, because you're always a fabulous guest. But tell us how they can get it.
How you can get it, here is my author's site, johntrudell.com. Or you can go and just look for my name on Amazon. Amazon
right.
has all my books. The first chapters are up there for free, so you can read the chapter and see how you like it. And the new book just out is Raven's Redemption, which continues the theme of Raven's Run.
Yeah, if you haven't read Raven's Run, read it and then read Raven's, because they really do work well together. But they stand alone, too.
They do stand alone. I've got editorial reviews being done, and the pros are saying, yeah, you can read them in either order, but it is best to read Raven's Run first. They work either way.
Yeah. No, it's great stuff, and it's a page turner, and you know it's going to be summer vacation time, and to take this, and you can't sleep. You really are amazing, and it's a great story. I'm so glad your new book. I was chomping at the bit to get it. Also, go to his website, read his writings, read about what's going on in Malheur County, and some of the in-depth analysis he's done about that, because it's second to none. And it's always a pleasure to have you on. I hope you sell a million of those books and keep writing, and don't make us wait so long.
Jane, I'm doing it. I'm pedaling as fast as I can. Yeah, for the books, www.johntrudell.com. Any bookstore can get them. Amazon has them. And my blog for the reality stuff, where I tell things that are, you know, most of it is, 90% of it is absolutely true. She's talking about the Burns incident.
Yeah, amazing stuff.
Blog, blog.johntrudell.com. And Jane, thank you for having me on, and I would love to finish the discussion at your convenience.
All right. Thank you, sir. It's always an honor. John Trudell, the amazing author, and well, I call him a clairvoyant because I think he is. We'll be back.